some things that need to be done. In other words, it's an area of asking the Lord to intervene. I know that he's intervened in so many lives down through the last 30 years here, as he's done in the lives of so many of us over the years that we've known him. I got saved in 1973. I've been preaching since 1974, and I thank the Lord for all the people that we've had cross our pathways down through those last 47 years or so. And so thank God for the testimony of this church here, for the testimony of your pastor, and thank you for being here this morning. We had a good time last night, and trust we'll have a blessed time here this morning. Now, I don't normally print stuff out like this, but there was a real need for me to do this time. I don't usually do that, but I did this time, so I brought this with me. Now, this is a message I brought to our own people up in Mackay last week, and it's praying for God's divine intervention. As we look through the scriptures, there's much to say about this. Now, Luke made mention of this the other night about praying, and I thought, well, just hope he doesn't start stealing my thunder for this morning. So, yeah, there's no copyright on what we've got to say and no intellectual property rights or anything like that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll look at this. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for your word. Bless our time in it now and speak to our hearts in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's Luke? Wave to me. Luke, where are you? What time did we finish? 22? Okay. All right, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4:16, please. Hebrews chapter 4:16. I know that you're familiar with this verse. If you're not, you should be as a believer. But if you're here this morning and you've never read Hebrews 4:16, I want us to look at that just for a moment. All right, praying for God's divine intervention. So here in Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So just laying a little bit of the groundwork here this morning, we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. The word boldly here is also translated, and it also means openly, plainly, freely, and with confidence. So we ought to come before the throne of grace, and the word grace here is the Greek word charis. It means God's pleasure, God's favour, and of course we need to come boldly before the throne of God's favour that we may obtain mercy to find grace. There's the same word charis there, to find God's pleasure and God's favour to help in time of need. Question for you, do we live in a time of need? Do you have a need or needs? Yes, we do. All right, so in approaching the Lord, we need to come before his throne boldly. Now, that doesn't mean to come arrogantly. It means to come boldly because we are the children of God. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should come boldly before the throne of grace, before the throne of his favour, to seek his favour, to obtain mercy and to find grace or favour and pleasure to help in time of need. So we do need the Lord's help in this time of need. Desperately in this time of need. And so throughout the scriptures, there is much to be said about seeking the Lord in times of need. We should pray always. The scripture says to pray without ceasing, and we certainly try to do that. If you look in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. So you think about the times we're living in now. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Times that are difficult, times that are fierce, times that are hard to deal with, and we certainly are living in times like that now. And so as we look at our world today, believers are being threatened, coercion, even extortion and blackmail and all that sort of stuff we have to face up to almost every day in these last few months. So here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, if you look there with me please, Matthew 18 and verse 19, the Lord says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." I don't know what your need is, but the Lord knows what your needs are. But if you have common needs, and I'm sure you do in this church, you should get together and bring those needs and agree on those things. We need to pray God's going to intervene on this and this and this. People's lives, people's livelihoods, homes, marriages, businesses, and even churches now are being threatened in this day and age. So definitely a time of need. So we need to really bring this before the Lord and lay it out before the Lord and use Scripture to do it. I'm not talking about doing this in an emotional approach, but doing it in a biblical approach. So the Lord says, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. We've been praying that way for weeks and weeks and weeks. Brothers down south have asked me to pray with them over many things. Just a couple of years ago, we were having troubles with various things, and the Lord removed about 17 people from the federal government because of dual citizenship. These people are the people in power. They are the ministers of God, Romans chapter 13, and they are there to be the praisers of good and the punishers of evil. But we find so often they're approving of the evil and punishing the good, which is the opposite. So you need to pray that God will deal with his ministers. I'm talking about the men who are in our governments, that the Lord would take them and change their mind and turn them around, either rebuke them, remove them, replace them, and pray hard about this. Now, we've seen that happen in New South Wales just a couple of weeks back. A brother down there said, "Brother, we really need to pray because they're threatening to close the school and they're threatening this and they're threatening that and threatening something else." I said, "Well, brother, just pray God and just get in there and just make it all blow up in their face and make it so that they understand they're being dealt with by God because they are his ministers." We saw four politicians go in 1 week in New South Wales. We need to pray about that not only here in our own state but also for our federal realm because our country's in turmoil. Now, these people are supposed to be leading our country and they're supposed to be on the side of good. So pray for them that they'll get on the side of good and they'll be doing what God wants them to do. All right, so if you'll agree on that together and with me this morning, we can pray to that end, that God will rebuke them, remove them, replace them, and that God would change them. And the Bible says the Lord will take the wise in their own craftiness. You need to pray that God will do that. That's Scripture. And we're not praying outside the will of God on that. We're praying in the will of God according to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. So let's agree on those things. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace and say, "Well, here I am again, Lord. I'm here to annoy you again." Remember the story how the woman came to the unjust judge and she made her petitions over and over. And he said, "Look, just give her what she wants and that way she'll stop nagging me and it'll all be over with." We need to nag God. That's a biblical reference there. Also, the guy came at midnight. He says, "I've got visitors and I need bread. Go away, go away." But he kept asking. So he was satisfied with bread. And so that's what we need to do. We need to come and get on God's case boldly, not being cheeky, not being arrogant. Say, "Well, here I am, Lord. It's a time of need and I'm here to pray for this time of need." Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says to be careful for nothing. That means we shouldn't have worries and cares. We should not be weighed down with cares and worry over what we have coming our way. I know there's a lot of stress on a lot of people about a lot of things. So we need to pray that God would intervene on our behalf and bring honor and glory to himself by granting our petitions. It says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication," it says, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So let's start doing that more fervently because it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not one to preach on prayer, but it is something that is it's a spiritual exercise that we need to be doing. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says in 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." See, God cares about you, he cares about me. So because God cares about us, we take these scriptures before him and say, "Well, Lord, you said in your word that you care about me. You care for me. You told us to be careful for nothing." So we're taking the promises of God, the word of God, we're laying them before the Lord and we say, "Well, Lord, this is what you said." It's like when we go out and we give out tracts. We don't just give out tracts to give out tracts. We go and we give out tracts. We go and we witness on the streets and we do things like this for a purpose, so that we might tell them that they might know how to be saved. We can't save them, but we certainly sow the seed. One sows, another waters, but who gives the increase? So we pray, Lord, you told us to sow the seed. You told us to pray that the seed would be watered, but Lord, you're the one that gives the increase. And so, Lord, we pray you'd give us the increase. We're just praying in the will of God, according to the word of God. So let's begin to do that, especially in this time of real need. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, God has magnified his word above his name, which means God's word, you can take God's word for what it says. Once upon a time, I grew up as a boy, and Bill, you did too, when a man's word was his bond. You didn't need a contract. I mean, if you said, I'll do this, and I'll meet this payment, and I'll make sure this contract is good, your word was as good as your bond, right? Yep. And that's the way God's word is today. But we've also got it in black and white, because God says it. Here it is. We can look at it, we can check it out, and say, well, this is what he says. So let's use the word of God, come before the throne of God, bring the word of God, bring these verses. If you want to write them down, these are for you to use to approach God. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. So it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for us. In 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching over you. His ears are open, the Bible tells us, also in that verse, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that doeth evil. Sometimes we forget that. See, people think that God's all in favour of the wicked. He's not. God is angry with the wicked every day. Certainly God loves lost people and wants them to get saved, but he doesn't approve of their lifestyle or their living. People say that, you know, he's a loving God and he wouldn't condemn anybody. Well, look, lost men are already condemned. John 3:16 tells us God, Jesus came into the world to give his life for men. Verse 17, he says, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to a world that's already condemned. He came to a race that's already condemned. And so he came that condemnation might be removed by his paying for their sins on the cross. And they come and repent of their sin, turn to him and ask forgiveness for their sins. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Don't hesitate to pray these verses. Bring them before the Lord. Lay them out. Say, well, Lord, this is what your word says. Your eyes are over us. Your ears are open unto what we've got to say. But also, you said you're against those that do evil. Lord, it is time for thee to work, the scripture says. And so, Lord, we'd ask you to intervene. Do something that they might know that this is God. You find that God is doing some things contrary to what people are saying in our world today. You know, it's like the weather. They predict the weather and say, this is going to happen. I just remember earlier on this year, they said, well, we may have a La Nina, but we're not going to get any rain. I said, well, dear Lord, just mock them anyway. Just do the opposite, you know. Just confound them. The scripture says that God confounds them. So just pray that God would confound them and exposes them to all the lies and the errors that they have, and they try to portray that they have the answers and they try to tell us the truth, which is sometimes nothing but a lie. So just stick by the word of God, pray according to the word of God. And here's a verse that I use, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, in Galatians 6, 7. And up here on a Wednesday night, we gathered together in the prayer meeting, and before the fellas there, I say, fellas, we need to pray. And I say, you know what, look at the people who are mocking God and how wicked, depraved and ungodly they are. And we say, well, Lord, you know, the scripture says you will not be mocked. God is not mocked. They're mocking you. They're mocking you. They're mocking you. We just ask, Lord, intervene. Do something. Show them that they're being dealt with by God and just deal with it your way. So you need to take these scriptures and pray that God would cause these people to reap what they are sowing, okay? And it might turn around and bite them, whatever they're saying contrary to God's word and doing contrary to God's word. I remember when Paul was on trial for his life. He'd been arrested there in Jerusalem, and of course the Jews wanted him dead. The Romans intervened, and of course they spared his life. But there in Acts chapter 23, when he's standing up giving his testimony, the high priest says, "Give him a smack in the mouth. Smack him in the mouth." So the fellow walked over and smacked Paul in the mouth. And Paul said to him there in Acts chapter 23, he said, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall." See, sometimes we get to the place where we think, well, that's pretty unkind. You know, I think sometimes we get walked all over because people think meekness is weakness. And sometimes we get that way where people take our meekness and exploit us. But we need to get to the point where we are bold and courageous, and we stand up for the things which are right and be outspoken for the things that are right, be unapologetic for the things that are right. Because let's face it, the enemy is out there, they're pushing their agenda, they're loud about all their stuff, but when it comes to us, you know, we get a little bit timid and a little bit meek and we tend to back off. We don't want to be noticed. Well, we don't want to be noticed, but we certainly want them to know what God says in his word. It's interesting to read in Galatians 1 and verse 9, Paul writes to the churches of Galatia, plural, and he rebukes them how they had departed from the truth and they had accepted another gospel, which is not another gospel. What did he say about those that would preach another gospel? He said, let him be accursed. Let the wrath of God, let the woe of God be on that person that would preach another gospel. 1 Corinthians 16:22. What does it say there in that last chapter of 1 Corinthians 16? Have a look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you have a look down in verse 22, it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, or let the curse of God be upon him, Maranatha, for our Lord cometh. The Lord's coming back. You go out and tell the world that the Lord's coming back, they laugh, they mock, they make fun, they scoff, you know. And we've had that for 47 years, out witnessing on the street and preaching. People will mock, they'll make fun, they'll ridicule, they'll belittle, they'll degrade you and denigrate you. So you just stand up and say, well, doesn't matter what you say, this is what matters. And you know, so don't be apologetic for what God's word says. We don't go out to be spiteful or to be hateful or vindictive. We just want them to know the love of Christ and how that they can be saved. So, but Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be under the curse of God, for our Lord cometh. Go in your Bibles then to 2 Kings. If you go into 2 Kings chapter 2, now don't take too long on this, but 2 Kings chapter 2, if you look down into verse 23, it says, and he went up thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came four little children out of the city and mocked him. Now, this is talking about Elisha. So this is Elisha the prophet. So he's on his way up to Bethel, and as he's on his way up to Bethel, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, making fun of him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. I know this is Old Testament, but whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning. Verse 24, and he turned back, Elisha turned back, and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And came forth, and there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, the Bible says, and tear 40 and two children of them. Ooh, we wouldn't like something like that to happen today. But this is the God of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God in the book of Hebrews. It also says in the book of Hebrews, also taken from the book of Deuteronomy, for our God is a consuming fire. So people don't realize that they're playing with fire when they're playing with God. And that's even for Christians. So Christians, don't play games with God because you're playing with fire. Now, the lost world doesn't realize that it's playing with fire. And so I don't hesitate to tell people, well, you know, it's the God of heaven that runs the show. And he's the one that sends the rain, the lightning, the thunder. And the lightning tells us the presence of God. The thunder, the Bible talks about the thunder being the voice of God. And even in the New Testament, some of these guys mistook the voice of God for thunder. You remember that? We shouldn't apologize for what the Word of God says. We know that they say it's old-fashioned, you know, it's out of date and so forth and so on. But we need to say it doesn't matter what you think. But this is the way it works, because it's more up to date than today's newspaper. People say, well, how do you know the Bible's true? I said, well, you've only got to look at the pre-written history. God says, in a year or so, this is going to happen. Tomorrow, this is going to happen. And about this time next year, this is going to happen. And you go through the scripture, you say, you know, that happened, that happened, that happened. And God tells us in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's like that. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Paul said, in the last days, this is the way it's going to be. Here's the clincher on this. How do you know the Bible's true? Because the Lord says, in the last days, men would turn away their ears from the truth, or would be turned unto fables. So we know the Word of God is true, because people today would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. It gets down to facts, truth, and evidence. People do not want to know facts, truth, and evidence today. It's too confronting. They'd rather believe something else that sounds, yeah, feasible, plausible, possible, yeah, believable. But when it comes to the truth, people do not like to be exposed to the truth, because sometimes it shows up the faults and flaws and errors even in our own lives. And this is the way it is in the world that we're living in. So we need to pray according to the will and word of God. Also, as I said, Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when people make fun of you and blaspheme and so forth, we'll say, friend, I'm sorry for you. One day you'll stand before the Lord and give an account for what you just said and what you just did. And there's nothing wrong with trying to put the fear of God into people. But I'm not one of these guys that would say, well, just bring down fire and kill them, Lord. The disciples did that back in the Gospels. They said, well, shall we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did and kill him? And the Lord said, no. You know not of what spirit you are. Let God deal with them. Pray that God would intervene and God would undertake. Look at how the early church prayed. Go over to the book of Acts chapter 4. So you read Acts chapter 3. Pentecost is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3, the lame man gets healed as trouble starts after that. And from that time on through Acts chapter 6, trouble, trouble, trouble. Persecution, imprisonment, bondage, death, and punishment. So let's look at this here according to Acts chapter 4 and in verse 29. Now they'd been told, you know, if you keep this up, we're going to either put you to death or imprison you. And of course they did that a number of times. Of course, the Lord let them out of prison several times, but they still wound up back there. So a lot of Christians back in those days were jailbirds, especially the apostles. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, Acts 4 and verse 29, they prayed and said, and now, Lord, watch this phrasing here, behold their threatenings. See, Christians are being threatened even in this day and age. Of course, we take a stand, we have a belief, we are being threatened. So we need to say, well, Lord, behold their threatenings. Deal with their threatenings. Turn these things back on them. May it bite them. And may they reap what they have sown. But they were breathing out threatenings, imprisonment and death against the disciples of the Lord. They wanted to stop the church. They wanted to stop the preaching and the teaching. And one of the main propagators of that was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. Hated Jesus, hated the church, hated the preaching about the death and resurrection of Christ. And the Bible says he went into every house looking for men and women and bringing them to justice, you know, to punish them, imprison them, and have them put to death. But, you know, on his way to Damascus with this warrant in his hand, he was checking on all the different houses and homes and that to see who were Christians and not, so he could arrest them. But on his way to Damascus, God intervened. What happened? Struck down on a Damascus road, he was blind, but he could hear. And the voice of the one he didn't believe in, the one that he hated, spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou? Lord. He said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. I'm the one you don't believe rose again from the dead. I'm the one that you believe the disciples came and stole from the tomb, that you guys manufactured that story. He said, but here I am. I am the real deal. And so Saul of Tarsus was converted. He became one of the greatest preachers in the history of the Word of God. And so we should never hesitate to pray according to the things that even the Apostle Paul wrote in the Scriptures. With the Apostle Peter. Peter was in prison, I don't know how many times, Acts chapter 12. At that time, in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we see that Herod was down there persecuting the church. He took James, the brother of John, and he beheaded him with the sword, and he arrested Peter. And he, look what it says there. He thought to do the Jews a favor. He was a man pleaser. Sadly, a lot of our leaders are men pleasers today. They know what's right, they know what's wrong, but they're caught in the middle where, well, if we do this, we'll offend this one. If we do this, we'll offend that one. It's like the Pharisees and Sadducees in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, by what power and authority do you do this? And he said, well, I'll put a question to you. John the Baptist, was he sent by God or is he the invention of men? And they said, ooh, get in the corner and talk about this. If we say, yes, he was sent of God, he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe him and do what he said? He said, you know, if we say, yeah, he was sent of men, the crowd's going to turn us and kill us. Yeah, we're in the middle here. We don't know what to say. We can't tell you. Jesus, well, I'm not going to tell you. So we need to be as wise as Lord, but pray that God would intervene. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, at that time Herod killed James with the sword, imprisoned Peter. And then, of course, have a look down in verse 5, Acts 12, 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was in prison. What was the church doing? It was down there praying to God without ceasing that Peter would be released. When lo and behold, the angel comes into the prison, slaps Peter on the side, said, wake up, get up, we're out of here. Peter shook himself, I can't believe this is happening. But it was happening. So he makes his way down to Mary's house and knocks on the door, and Rhoda comes running to the door, and she hears the voice, it's me. And then she doesn't even open the door for gladness. She ran back and says, you know what? Peter's at the door. He's been released from prison. What'd they say? You're crazy. You're mad. Can't be. Hang on. What were they doing in there? What were they praying for? They were praying for his release. See, we ought to pray and believe it. See, they were praying, but there must have been somebody there that believed. I think it was Rhoda. She heard the voice, mate. She ran to the door, and she came back and says, Peter's at the door. No, he's not. So let's pray so that we pray in a way that God's going to believe, and we're going to believe that God's going to do it. Well, you know, what happened to Herod? You know, Herod was out there to get the Christians. He was out to please the Jews by killing the Christians. But on a set day, he's up there in one of these other towns in the north coast there, and he's given an oration, and they think that, man, this man's like a god. And God struck him dead right then and there, and he was devoured by worms right in the sight of the people. You know, this is the same God we serve. That was New Testament. This is New Testament. We know we're supposed to be gracious and kind and gentle and meek and all of that, but hang on. Don't let that bury us being conquerors, victorious, and walking also in the fear of the Lord and claiming victory that's already ours. Well, there's heaps more here I could go into, but I haven't got the time. But when you come down to the children of Israel in the time of Egypt, the Lord heard their cry. What did he do? He raised up a deliverer, Moses. And so Moses delivers them out of Egypt. And as they are down there by the Red Sea, they see Pharaoh coming. Their backs are to the wall. Their backs against the Red Sea. Mate, they're up against it. What did they do? They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them. So, you know, sometimes we get our backs to the wall. Sometimes we just look like everything is against us. We need to pray that God would intervene. But God also wanted to show himself to them and to those that opposed them that he was God. And there are many, many, many scriptures, if I wish we had time to flash them up on the screen, how that God is our shield and buckler. He is our hiding place. He's all of these things. And so don't hesitate to open the Word of God. I pray out of the Psalms. I read through the Psalms sometimes. I say, well, this is what David said, Lord, and I wish you would just do some of this, you know. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word. And this is a time of need for your intervention, Lord, as we see your people being threatened by so many things in so many ways in this day and age. And We ask, Lord, for your intervention. Pray, Lord, that you would take the wise in their own craftiness. I pray that you would confound them. I pray, Lord, that you'd make these things blow up in the faces of those that would have designs against your people. I pray, Lord, they'd know that they are being dealt with by thee. We commit our day into your care in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Look at that. 2 minutes grace. I'm not like Luke. I don't go over much.